Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Oh my goodness, we're here to encourage you today in the Extra Hour. Joining me today to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Also joining us is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And guess what? Chris is here this morning.
Woo-hoo. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Understand that the greatest move of God you've ever seen, that history has ever seen, is about to hit the face of the earth, and God chose for you to be in this season. Prepare yourself for the day of battle. Souls coming in for the King and the Kingdom. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're listening to The Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Morning, morning. Here we are. We're in The Extra Hour, and it's just so encouraging always to be here. I want to be to welcome, you know, some of our new listeners, Gordon. Welcome Gordon and Donald and Lisa and Edwin and Bo and John. And I mean, just joining us from all around the world, Dewey and Brian, Michael, and just on and on and on. We just thank you for all of our new listeners that are joining us. Edwin will give you a shout-out this morning as well. And God is just so good. You know, God is good. And as the virtual audience in the virtual stadiums continuing to grow, you know, if you hadn't had a chance to hear it, you'll hear it today in the Extra Hour. Imagine as we walk together and encourage each other, what's going to take place? You know, what's going to take place as we hear the Spirit of the Lord and follow, you know, what He is saying and what He is doing. I don't know if I ever told you about this time. You know, we mentioned it the other day, and I want to mention it today. I was sent to this call. You know, I used to be a deputy, a law enforcement officer, and I was sent to this call, and the call was there was this house that was in probate, and nobody was living there, mm-hmm. and they were waiting for it to go through a process or something, and they said that they thought they heard somebody was in the house. Well, there was no power in the house or anything like that, and so they, for some reason, they sent me out there. Right. It's like, that's scary. You know, like, oh, no, you're the deputy. You're supposed to go
right,
there.
Right.
Police.
You're the police.
Every time there was a problem, they always sent me. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so and so here we go. I'm going to this place, and it seems like an older house there, and it's kind of, it looks, it's all dark. It's at nighttime, and mm-hmm. and I'm standing on the front porch, and you know, and I felt the front door is cracked. It's open. I'm like, oh my goodness, well, somebody could be in this thing. So I didn't shine my light at first. You know, I kind of kept my light down mm-hmm. so I can kind of walk into this house to be able to you know, surprise them, so them surprising me.
Right.
And so I got in there, and I turned on my flashlight. You have to understand, my flashlight at that time was something they use now, I think, for x-rays. I mean, if you thought might have a broken bone, you could put that behind them and look on the other side. You could see right. if any bone is fractured. It was bright. It was so bright that it almost caught my car seat on fire and my cruiser once. It was just such a bright light. So wow. Anyway, so I come in there, and all of a sudden, you want to surprise me. I, bam, turn my light on, right? And when I turn my light on, cockroaches, man. Cockroaches, ugh. Like 2 inches, 3 inches, 6 foot wingspread. I mean, these things were huge.
Oh,
and there was
gosh.
Like, there was just hundreds of them. And they just flew right to me like I was Velcro and went, you know, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, man.
Oh, no.
And they have like pointy, like needle legs and stuff.
Dang.
Thanks.
That's like your best friends, right?
It's not time to talk about your phobia. And, you know, and so, you know, I mean, I'm covered in roaches. In roaches. And I'm supposed to be the calm, cool police. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. You are the police.
Terrified. I was police. And so I was terrified. Oh, my goodness, you know. And so you don't know whether somebody's in there with a gun. You don't know what's going on. You got roaches crawling up your pants legs and in your sleeves, in your ears. You know what I'm saying? This is horrific.
You're the police.
And listen, for people, our listeners that are not living in the southern parts of America, You haven't seen a roach. Do you see one down south?
No doubt.
It's as big. It's like a big, huge bay leaf or bigger.
It's like an airplane.
It really is. The wingspread will blow you away. And so needless to say, I felt inside of me there was a need that I needed to expedite my search of this house and get out of this house.
And escape.
I went through the house so fast. And what happened was transients, I guess, had come in there, kids or whoever, and they were sleeping on the floor on a mattress in that.
Mm. Oh,
but
wow.
There was open peanut butter jars and all that, and roaches were just everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. Goodness, man! I ran out of there, and they're crawling up your short sleeve shirts. They're going right up your arms and down the back of your neck and stuff. And, oh, it was just horrific. I'm glad I didn't shoot the place up. It wouldn't have done no good.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine it. And so,
that was another time.
I ran out of there, obviously, in a real cool way.
Yeah, sure.
And I didn't know whether.
Like,
well, you're thinking like I didn't know where I wanted to get in my cruiser because I know they're gonna have roaches in my cruiser, right? Because they're all over me, and so I'm shaking clothes out, doing all
that
kind
of stuff. Did you search yourself?
All right. I was getting them out. And that was horrific.
Ugh.
That was horrific. You know. And I remember when I was young when I first got my understanding of roaches, and maybe Chris has a story here. It looks like he has one.
Oh.
That I was five, and Dad had this walking cane. He got this cane from the insurance company. It's like an insurance company gives you a cane. I never thought about that. Not a good thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Anyway, mm-hmm. You give me all these awards. You did really good insurance, mm-hmm. And so having this long cane that was curled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, they had built onto the house, closed in a garage. Mm-hmm. And there was this, during those days, paneling was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened, but paneling was a thing. And there was this cockroach that got in there on the wall in the back of this room, you know. And so I was like, because I was confident. It crawls around and stuff like that, you know. And it was to me, I mean, you know, 5 years old, it looked like it was probably about, you know, 2 inches long and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And so I had that cane, you know, and, you know, 5 year olds, you know, we're like, you know, trying to see if frog legs stay on when you pull on them. And
very intelligent.
The
right?
Fly wings come off. Can you fly with one wing? Different things that kids do. And so I'm poking at this cockroach. I'm poking at this cockroach, you know, for all the PETA listeners out there.
With the cane.
Oh, well. Anyway, so I'm poking at this thing thinking, yeah, you know, I'm bigger than you, and I'm poking this cane. But I didn't realize, my knowledge and my wisdom has not yet expanded to all the things that these big, huge southern Florida roaches can do. And all of a sudden, this crawling roach that was on this paneling wall decided, okay, I'm not going to crawl anymore. I'm going to spread my 6-foot wingspread. I'm going to fly over to whoever's holding this cane, and I'm going to land on his shoulder. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
You're talking about squealing. Oh, this 5-year-old squealed and ran the whole length of that place. Oh, my goodness. I want to encourage you. Pest control is from the Lord. From the Lord. You look at a phobia. You like them?
Oh, roaches. I mean, we don't get along.
You know?
No, I've got a similar story of being attacked by a roach.
You got attacked too, huh?
Oh, wow. Man. But I was, you know, probably
16?
Like 25?
Actually, I was older. I was about 26, really. No, I was, you know, growing up as a kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, you know, we would go to our grandmother's house, you know, all the time, and she had a really bad.
Yeah.
Roach problem.
Lots of oak trees.
And yeah. So
they live under
edit
oak trees.
Edit that.
Anyway.
So yeah, at night, you know, I was always afraid of a cockroach crawling into my ear, up my nose, in my mouth, you know, because they were everywhere.
Oh, and my goodness.
You were for the mission field. You're going to go to the mission field. You're
right. And so, you know, later on in life.
Instead, he got hairballs.
Yeah. I was, you know, later on when I was living in the house, there was one particular night where there, you know, there was a cockroach in the kitchen, and it was this biggest cockroach I'd ever seen. Like you said, it was 2-3 feet long, and
did it have a saddle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I went to swat this thing, and it flew off. I mean, it came like right towards my face.
Were you smoking your Bible about that time?
This might not have actually happened. We don't know, right?
I hallucinated.
Yeah. And so I ducked this cockroach, and it lands on top of this shelf. And so I turn around, and I'm going towards this roach to swat it, and this thing stands up on its hind legs.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. This thing stood up and just flew at me again. And I screamed.
It flipped me again?
And I screamed like a little banshee.
It flipped him.
Like,
it flipped a 26-year-old man. It's cockroach flipped him.
No, wow. It flew at me.
Oh, flew at you. At least it flipped him.
Wow. That's a big roach, bro.
It could have been like this, too. I don't know.
It was a big roach.
Yeah, right. On drugs.
Then it spoke to you, right?
No, it didn't speak. I spoke. I screamed a little girl.
Well, okay. This is the last cockroach segment. You know, and you know, there's just different things. You know, I've been to Jersey and seen some stuff. Been to New York, and I said, "Oh, what's that? A dog?" They go, "No, that's a rat." That's a rat. And so I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital because somebody was there in the hospital, and I wanted to stay the night. They don't design hospital furniture for you to be there. I mean, they have some psychologist designing furniture to just poke you in a certain way that you'll go home and not stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they mopped their carpets. They mopped their carpets in the hospital. And so there was a coffee pot, and there was like this waiting room, whatever, down from the room that I was staying there. And just staying there. Actually, it was Donna's mom that we were there. And I just wanted to stay close to Donna and her mother. And I said, well, I'm just going to stay here in this waiting room and kind of somehow lay between on the arms or something. You know, it's just really tough to do. And I'm laying there wide awake with an armrest in my back. Mm-hmm. And I look at the coffee pot. And over the coffee pot, this is in a hospital.
Gosh.
You know, it's in a hospital. I look up, and there's one of these huge roaches that he's talking about. I'm over the coffee. I don't have 30 cups of coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and so I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, you know, because we were in this daze because we've been awake for like, you know, weeks. And it seems like, and so I'm thinking, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at it. Then all of a sudden, and Chris said, reminded me of it. This, you're thinking, you know, you think you know how things happen, you know, and you're looking at it, and you're in and out, and what's going on. It's like, you know, as long as it stays way over there, I will not have coffee again ever anywhere in the vicinity of this place.
Oh, my gosh.
And then... It literally bows up. It leans back. It leans back now. It's on the wall, so it's on a wall. Its feet are touching the wall. Its back feet, because it had a whole bunch of them. And then its front feet came off. You got to get this. You got to get this now. And then it took its neck and its head and looked around the room. It looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
I levitated off that seat, man. Like, boom, I am out of here. I am going home. Lord, we'll just trust this thing with
goodness.
That. It looked around the room. It looked at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What's happening? Roaches are mutating. What are we doing? What is this coming from? So, it's pretty amazing, these big Bay Meadow type bugs, they call them. But palmetto bugs. And
those are big.
Okay. We haven't had Jersey
oh, really?
Roach yet.
Are you serious?
Jersey roach yet. Now they're not as big, but this maybe this would be
those
the
are
last
called
one.
Ants.
Maybe this,
these are ants.
Maybe this would be the last roach ants. Story, okay? I remember my parents, this is when I was younger, maybe about 5-6 years old. Older than that. I don't know. Just young kid at the time.
How tall were you then?
I don't know. Not, they're probably almost the same size now. But But
you got that tricycle? Bad tricycle.
Well, this beautiful couple actually that led my parents to the Lord, they actually were come visiting my parents at the house for dinner. Oh, okay. No. You got
to
get this.
Of so. All the times for you to come out, Roach.
So, you know, this is a wonderful.
If your mother's
couple,
listening, she's so, dying right yeah. now. For saying this.
My mom is a spotless person. When you live in an apartment building, if your neighbors got roaches, it doesn't matter, you're gonna have roaches. They leave one apartment, come to the next. But she's kind of a spotless type person, and cleaning what you know, doing her thing, and so this couple is there, and I remember this couple were so nice, it was just so proper, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, just you know, they actually came to our apartment and they're eating dinner with us, and it was a huge deal. So I get up, you know how you're acting, like trying to be on my best behavior, and I'm picking up plates.
That
and
had
doing
to be
stuff.
Hard. That had to be hard for you.
Oh my goodness, very hard. So I'm, you know, doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I see this woman talking to my parents, and I see this roach on the back of her neck.
Oh no! Wait, Where is it?
On the back of her neck.
Oh my goodness! Did she bring it with her?
So I'm a kid. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a roach on her neck.
Oh no, your mom. No, out loud. Yeah, your mom was like, thank you, John Paul. Thank you.
If you could have seen their eyes. And she's getting up and she's patting her back and running around. Hilarious. I'm sure my mom doesn't even remember that story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Awesome friends, and they knew it for many years, but it was. That was something else, man. That was something else.
Can you imagine? She probably went home and thought, well, we're just in the mission field, honey.
We're just reaching out to them. We're just trying to be nice to these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are not going to talk about any cockroaches anymore. We'll be right back in a moment. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began... You know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app, how to build a fire. Okay.
I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV and hit download. And it's VFN radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now. VFN TV.
In fact, I was so excited to see that and I can mention this publicly because they've announced it and released a book about it. But Bill Hybels, you know, one of the pastor of Willow Creek Church, they have a network of hundreds, thousands of churches, tens of thousands of people involved, and they've been, you know, somewhat of the pioneers of visitor-friendly or seeker-friendly church. A year ago, they were going to put all their millions of dollars into their programs that they do every year. And they decided they were going to ask themselves the question, are our programs really doing what we think we want them to do? Are they really raising up true disciples of Jesus Christ? And so they put money into actually a study and all throughout their entire network of where people are at with this. And when they brought the report into Bill Hybels, he gave the report that they brought it into him in his office, and he hung his head and began to weep. Because they found that all it's done is gotten people in the building, but it's not created true disciples. And so they've now released a book, I think it's called Reveal Now or Reveal Where Are You, and it's based on the study that they did throughout their network on asking people questions about where they are in their relationship with God. And they said that what the programs have done is raised up people that are addicted to the programs. In other words, the only way they can find God is to have the program. And so people now will even pick the church they go to as like they would pick a pair of clothing when they go to the mall. They're going shopping. Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Instead of where they're called. Jesus was the opposite of seeker friendly. I mean, Jesus went to his big group of disciples and said, guess what, guys? You know, you're going to eat my flesh. You're going to drink my blood. You know, what do you think about that? And a bunch of them said, you know, this is a really hard saying. And they left. And he looked at the other guys and said, you want to leave too? He was anything but seeker sensitive. But there is a remnant of people that are beginning to cry out for the glory of God. And when they begin to cry out for the glory of God, and the glory of God begins to come, it's going to begin to bring division in the midst of this organizational monster that we call the church. But the real church will begin to rise out of it. And I'm not saying this because we get a negative attitude towards the people that we think aren't going after the God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the glory of God comes, it begins to capture the people that are really after His heart. I want to read this to you. It's called, I'm a Consumer. I'm a consumer. Nothing wrong with that. I like nice things, shiny things, techie things, tasty things, dark beers with a rich foam head. Did I mention I'm a consumer? So you want me in your church? Here's how to get me. Parking. I need lots of space for my big SUV. And it better be close to the doors. I don't want to do much walking. So if it isn't, how about a shuttle? Nice building. This is important. I'm not interested in some strip mall church that looks like it's struggling, or an old traditional church unless you've done millions in renos. I'm an upwardly model semi-professional, and I want my surroundings to reflect my importance. Proper HVAC. This isn't important. It's critical. I want to be cool when it's warm and warm when it's cool. 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 72 degrees Fahrenheit year round. Is that too much to ask? Comfy chairs. And when I say chairs, I mean chairs. Preferably theater style, with wide armrests. Give me some space for my girth and safe distance from the other arriving consumers. Be punctual. I've already spent too much time getting me and the family ready and there for the meeting. Begin it on time. Have something cool playing on the big screens to entertain if we arrive a little early. You've got an hour. Make good use of it. I want to be in and out in no more than 75 minutes. Maybe a few more if you're serving decent coffee. Decent coffee that's free, of course. Music. Three songs up front, one fast to get us going, one mid-tempo to help us be reflective. End with a fast one that tells us how much Jesus, God, the Spirit loves us. Just please know Jesus is my boyfriend songs, okay? Announcements. Get them over after the music. Present them on your big screen so they can be done quickly. This isn't a time to stick your B-team on the platform to give them some FaceTime. And unless Larry David is writing for you, avoid humor. Have the Final Cut folk edit your marketing stuff down to 15-second bites. If it works for Sony, it'll work for you. Offering. Now, it's up to you where you put it. If the preacher is great, after the sermon might work better. If not, go for the money after the announcements. Maybe show some shots of starving third world kids in the last announcement. Heartstring tugs work for compassion and world vision. Why not your church? God loves a cheerful giver, and the Malachi 3 verses and the 100-fold blessing are important reminders. A good story of how tithing worked for someone would be great. No more than 90 seconds, though. Sermon, 20 minutes. Did I make myself clear? 20 minutes. 20. 20. We have the attention spans of gnats. Keep that in mind. Make it practical. If I wanted systematic theology, I would have gone to seminary. Use humor. Steal from the best if necessary. I want to leave feeling built up, and it's a bonus if I can use your jokes and stories that you told at work tomorrow. Final song. Let the band rip on the last song. Feel good, happy, clappy works here. If you want us wanting to come back for more next week. Benediction. Let the band lay back and under as you bless us. Speak multiplied blessings over us, and then do a fast pitch for whatever product you need to sell. And I did say fast pitch. And then the band amps back up. This is the place for guitar or sax solos as we head out the doors to the shuttle bus or the bookstore or the free coffee. It's okay to charge us something extra for lattes. Like I said, I'm a consumer. Oh, and a sort of a Christian. If you build this, I will come. Or so you've been told.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton, John Ramos, and Chris.
Good morning.
Hey. Consumer, that was Ryan White, if you haven't heard of Ryan White. That's part of VFNU, by the way. If you're getting a peek at VFNU, what happens there, you're seeing what it is. We're preparing ourselves for to be the church, and we're not consumers. You know, and Jesus didn't look at trying to make everybody comfortable in our sin. Mm. He told us, you know, repent and be baptized, you know, and to leave our life of sin. And he even told us that the axe is already laid at the root, and that if we don't bear fruit, you know, and so that's what we're here to do. We're here to encourage you. It's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, but it's also not as frivolous as religion's made it out to be. I mean, there's something very important that we alone have to answer to God all by ourselves, standing in the throne room of God for the decisions we made or we didn't make.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing about us is what we think about God. You know, the most important thing that about us, because do we believe and think that he is the only way to God, that Jesus is the only way there? Well, if that's not your thoughts, that's pretty, he's got some eternal consequences for that thought.
Right.
You know, and who you are to him. And so and that's what we're here to do, to be able to encourage you and talk to you. That's Ryan White. That's just kind of a little clip, you know, some things that we talk about in VFNU to get us to start thinking outside the box, outside the flower pot, and say, you know what? You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people, they say, right?
That's right.
Well, buildings don't kill the church. You know, the people kill the church. And so it has nothing to do with you know, bricks, mortar, stucco. I mean, a converted shopping center, I mean, you know, or a house or an oak tree, wherever, you know, because the church is people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, like Jeff Bethke was talking about. You can see him on the VFN Torch when he's on Governor Huckabee's show, and it's got a segment called Spoken Word. You got to hear it. It's really good. But here we are. I want to be able to share with you God's news behind the news right now in regards to what's happening in Israel. The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, just appealed to the world and America for the condition for where they're at. Because he's already appealed to the president, and the president has our president, our leader, America. We can't separate ourselves by political parties. We can't separate ourselves by gender, by race, by, you know, that's not like somebody else's president. That's our president. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody else's Congress. That's our Congress, you know, and we're one people. We're called Americans, you know, and the leader of America told Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, and this is what the prime minister of Israel is. He's the leader of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's responsible for the protection of the people and to defend the people of Israel and make sure that they survive. And think about Israel being its widest points, like right at 60 miles. It's a small country. And Iran's like within 6 months, you're going to hear, within developing the ability to have a nuclear weapon. And the first place they're going to launch it is Israel. And the second place they would launch it would be America.
All right.
And so he's appealing. And so our president said this. Our president said to Benjamin Netanyahu, if you do attack Iran, you're going to be on your own. You're going to be on your own.
Mm.
I mean, that probably just sealed the deal for our journey. This, when we're talking about earlier, you know, that the prophetic word was that the water's going to be going out for a while before the wave comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say that's the water going out in that. But listen up. Here, coming from CBN News, as they're talking about what's the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is appealing to the world.
Boy, that shipping lane.
Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu took to the American airwaves on Sunday. He's appealing directly to the American public to elect a president willing to draw a red line with Iran. The Obama administration says it will do what it takes to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. But Netanyahu told NBC's Meet the Press it takes more than words.
If you're determined to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons, it means you'll act before they get nuclear weapons. I just think that it's important to communicate to Iran that there is a line that they won't cross.
Netanyahu estimates that Iran is about 6 months away from having the enriched uranium needed to create a nuclear weapon. He says now is the time to spell out limits that Tehran must not cross if it's to avoid military action. President Obama has asked Israel to hold off on any strike on Iran's nuclear sites in an effort to give diplomacy time to work. But Netanyahu says in the end, Israel will protect itself with or without the U.S.
President Obama and the U.S. administration have repeatedly said that Israel has the right to act by itself against any threat to defend itself. And I think that that remains our position. And for me, the issue is, as the prime minister of a country that is threatened with annihilation by a regime that is racing, a brutal regime in Tehran that is racing to develop nuclear bombs for that end, obviously we cannot delegate the job of stopping Iran, if all else fails, to someone else.
Netanyahu says that while Israel reserves the right to act, coordinating a common position with the U.S. could keep a strike from becoming necessary.
You have to understand that the goal, the outspoken goal of the Iranian people, the Islamic Muslims that are in Iran, led by the Ayatollah there, they openly say what we want to do is we want to annihilate, destroy, demolish, push all of the Jewish people, kill them all, and push them into the sea. And then they want to do the same thing to America.
Right.
And it's right there on their eastern borders on the other side of Jordan, and they have this ability to deliver a missile, you know, right into the heart. I mean, they're totally vulnerable from, you know, the Hamas and the southern borders where the Palestinians militant and the Muslim Brotherhood's armed there. Then you have Hezbollah in the north with the Muslim Brotherhood's crew up there being able to come in. Now you have, you know, Iran and their nuclear power on the east. And we're telling, we used to have pounded the stew out of somebody that said that they're going to try to harm us. Now we just apologize. But, you know, with that they have to defend themselves. You have to understand that you might not know this, but at one particular time, you know, just for being Jewish, that there was evil leaders in the world that took away all their homes, took away all their businesses. They took them and made them, forced them to live in a compacted, like 10 families, 5 families per home ghetto, a Jewish ghetto. And then they put them on trains, lying to them all along to say, hey, we're going to take you somewhere. And they took them to a concentration camp. And they took them to a place where they ridiculed them and they made them feel devalued. And many of them, they took them to a place in that camp and, you know, Auschwitz and all. And they told them, hey, come on in. The train ride was busy, hectic, and probably all sweaty and stuff. Come on and take a shower. And so they brought masses of amounts of them into a place to take a shower. But the shower heads that were in the ceiling, when they turned them on, it was gas. And they gassed the Jews to kill them. They killed them. And then they took their bodies, their dead bodies, and they burned them in the ovens. And they started burning them. And there were so many millions of Jews that were killed that they, I believe 6 million, that they were, their bodies were just piled up in just like a pile of sand. There was a pile of human bodies. And they were digging mass graves and pushing them into the grave. Understand this. Don't think about, you know, people by their nations or their ethnic groups. Don't think about them like, well, how could this be connected? Realize Satan mm-hmm. hates God's people. And he will use anybody who is, who will be his slave, you know, and who wants to rule the world and greed and pride and arrogance. And when you hear Iran and you think about the, Aryan race, that word Iran comes from the word Aryan. And it was the Aryan people that were doing that to the Jews at that particular time. Mm. And it's like the same spirit. Mm-hmm. And the original, when I believe when it was colonized there, the leader of Iran at that time, he admired Hitler, he said, you know, and what he had done. And so when you have to understand that when somebody says they're going to kill you, you need to believe them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to believe them. You know, okay, I take you at your word. Boom. I believe you. And it's like, and of course, the church that's awake, you know, does believe. And I really truly believe there's something inside of me that says even our leaders believe that, but they don't think it's that relevant.
Right.
And it's very relevant because God says that he, at the very end of all times, all nations will be judged by one thing, how they responded to the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do with the land of Israel? Think about it.
Right.
And so here we are right now. He's actually, you know, and they go on to say, and you're going to be able to see this on the VFN Torch, you know, Chris Mitchell talks here. He's a reporter in Israel that, you know, make sure this is available on the Torch, that the Israel is not thinking, the people of Israel is not wondering if they're going to go to war. They already know they are. The question is when?
Mm-hmm.
And they're 6 months away. You're looking at any moment now. And how I feel in my spirit is, the moment, because of what we did and how we turned our backs, you know, the church is, a lot of the church is not turning their back on Israel, but you understand, we're Americans. I mean, the church will live, you know, no matter what happens to kingdoms of the world and what happens to nations, the church will live. But as a nation, as a nation, you know, our leader just turned his back on Israel, no matter if it was in a nice way or whatever, but you know, why they're being threatened by annihilation from the same spirit that says, you know, we wish they were all dead. Mm-hmm. And the Quran, it says, you know, that nothing will be satisfied until a tree points at a rock. It says there's a Jew hiding behind this rock. Come and kill it. Kill the Jew. I mean, that's what it says.
Right.
You know, and that's how God, that's why we always talk about JJ. You know, and this will be a related article, I'm sure, on this post that you look for JJ about Jesus and the Jews, that you have to understand that perspective, that Satan hates God's people. And we need to pray for Israel. But realize this, you know, brace yourself, prepare for what's about to happen. Pray that it wouldn't contact your congressmen and your senators and your presidents and your president. And just let them know, stand with Israel. Stand with Israel. You know, and let the world know, let everybody know, you know, because Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be, the prime minister is going to be in New York on the 25th,
27th.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that our president is going to be on the David Letterman show or something. He's on the David Letterman show or something of that nature. But he's not going to meet with him when he wanted
he's
to meet
him. He's not going to meet with him.
Not going to meet with him. And
in fact, I think there was over 100 congressmen that got together to encourage the president. To me, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right, right. And, you know, and there is a remedy here. There's a remedy here where Congress can overrule. You know, it's a representative government. There's equal powers in the judiciary branch, the legislature branch, and the executive branch. And, you know, that, you know, the legislature branch needs to man up and woman up. And they need to say, you know, we're not going to go there. We're going to stand with Israel. You know, and if enough of the legislative branch just stands up and says, just stop this. We're going to stand with you. And they go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
they stand out there and support, you know, maybe God will have mercy on us and not let it go the way that it's going. But it looks like, I'm telling you, it looks like, you know, one of the disciplines that's coming America's way and the church's way for not standing up is an infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood and their ideology, you know, kind of integrating where our, it seems like our president and our Secretary of State are accepting the United Nations rule now that says you cannot speak negatively about Islam. Mm-hmm. It's like,
even, and by the way, that is the 24th. You were correct.
It's 24th, and so these are like crucial moments, and so you watch that. If the 24th happens, and the way, you know, anybody's driven by politics, they change their mind every 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because things are so close that when they're talking about releasing the blind the man,
Sheik.
The blind Sheik who was responsible for the
1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the towers that went down on 9/11 in 93, they tried to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our president's met with the people to be able to early on in his administration in the White House. And now they're talking about and the
and
reason
it's to Egypt.
Right, it's to Egypt. And it's one of the key leaders. And I believe the reason why he would wait till after the election is to assure that those who gave him the election would give it to him again.
Yeah.
And but this is, you know, it's like, you know, Islam is not the answer, America. Jesus is the answer. And the Quran says that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he's not the way to God and that there is no Trinity and that the Jesus has to come back. He will come back, they say, but he'll have to repent for calling himself the Son of God and help the 13th Iman or whatever that is. But anybody that denies Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, is they're anti-Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be it's Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be anti-Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Does God love Muslims? Yes. Can Muslims be saved? Yes. Mm-hmm. But the only way to be saved is the way as everybody else. We have to accept Jesus Christ. And Muslims are being saved. They're seeing visions of Jesus and we're going to probably see a huge harvest of souls, you know, of Muslims coming in.
For sure.
But understand that these are you're walking in. I mean, if you only knew, if we really all of us knew. I mean, because we only know in part and prophesy in part. But just if you just knew right now where you were walking, that, you know, get ready. This tsunami that's coming, it's going to bring a life and it's going to bring death.
That's right.
You know, it's going to bring, if it wakes that many people up towards God, that means there's a lot of tragedies happening in the earth causing people to look up at the very same time. Mm-hmm. And we want to be prepared. We want to be ready for it. And we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and realize that if nobody stands with Israel, you can stand with them. You know, go to CUFI, you know, CUFI.org. And, you know, and maybe you can partner with them. You can partner with those. I mean, we partner with Israel, with Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv, and, you know, and just do something, you know, that you don't sit back and just say whatever, because God can spare you if you do what's right. I mean, God does choose. I mean, even Jeroboam's family, he found somebody in one person in Jeroboam's family. He's like, okay, you know, you, everybody else is gone, but, you know, and so God will protect you in the context of that. So we just pray right now for Israel, God, that you would protect them.
Yes.
You would protect them. Well, you know, it's time for the wisdom moment. You know, we want to be able to share the wisdom moment, and it is the 19th. And so we want to go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. And this is a really good word because it just helps us. It's all good. Everything in God's word is good.
That's right.
It's hard to pick just one to share.
Right.
But wisdom is so important that, you know, like I said, it's the proper application of knowledge. And getting this will help you apply what you know. And if you'll ask for wisdom, God will give you everything else. Because he said, you know, over and over again, he says there's nothing worse than somebody without wisdom in a place of leadership, somebody without wisdom having money, I mean, all these, a foolish man to have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be able to have good things in life from God, you know, to get some wisdom in your life, because God feels totally different about those who don't have wisdom because it's just squandered type things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Proverbs 19:11 reads, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is this man's glory to overlook an offense." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, over and over again, you know, most people say, you know, I can't believe that you're just letting that happen to you, and I can't believe what's going on. But wisdom, you know, the word patience means going through trials and inconveniences and delays and difficulty without complaining or grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like John's a very patient man, right? All right. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, Teresa's texting me. A wise man, a man's wisdom gives him the ability to go through difficulty, trials, delays, hardship, and just kind of continue to move along, which is so important because the world will tell you, shouldn't you be doing something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, go say something to them. Why are you letting them steal from you? Mm-hmm. What's going on? You know, like, and it's like everything in your natural carnal self would say, well, yeah, you're right. But then God says, no, wisdom says that you'll just keep plugging along. And, you know, if somebody steals from you, you know, Jesus said, you know, let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, someone wants to borrow something from you. Just let them borrow it. You know, if somebody, you know, hits you in one cheek, turn the other cheek. This is a whole new thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has been preached for a long time. Somebody bunches in one cheek. Hire an attorney to take their cheek. You know, and so it's a whole, you know, a man's wisdom gives him patience. And so patience is, if you have wisdom, and that's what we want you to have and we want to have it ourselves, is that we can go through this tsunami that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need a lot of wisdom, and wisdom is going to give us patience to go through this thing.
Right.
It's going to give us patience to go through it. And somebody says, oh, you're going to die. He's like, hey, fear not your life unto death. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter in the word of our testimony. And then he goes on to say, he says, it is to his glory. I mean, think about that. This is like the awe moment in heaven when God looks at you. It's to his glory to overlook an offense.
Right.
You know, think about that. That when somebody does something to offend you, that it's to your glory just to kind of go, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, do you want to share something on that? Because this is your expert.
You're right on.
Oh.
Amen to that.
Amen.
You know, this is to your glory. This is to our glory to go, you know what? You know what? That, and believe me, there's a lot of people lined up to offend you.
All day long.
To offend you. You know, and there's a difference between being easily offended because we're not healed and we have wounds. But there's people that literally just come up and just shoot you. You know what I'm saying? They just shoot you. And it's like, and it's amazing if you understand second heaven. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it because it's spiritual things. Mm-hmm. If you really understand, there's no way they could have known what they've known and said what they said with the tone they said unless they surrendered Satan had their tongue to say it. And when you can realize it wasn't, they don't even know what they just did to you. That's why Jesus, when he was being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of second heaven was taking all those people over to be able to do that, and God was allowing it to take place. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus was aware of what was going on, so he didn't take offense at what was going on. I don't think, Pat, you ever been offended at all, ever? I got it right, Tracy. I mean, it's amazing, you know.
I'm sure there was a time.
He wakes up in the morning and angels like, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Really?
Yeah, right. And so, you know, I think it's so important that, you know, a man's wisdom gives him the ability to go through trials and difficulties and delays and agitations and all that without complaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. Sometimes you feel obligated to complain. Like, I think I'm supposed to complain here.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever complained before that, you know, it's like, I'm tired of hearing myself complain.
Mm-hmm.
You ever done that? It's like,
oh yeah.
I can't believe they're not tired of it. I'm tired of hearing it. Yeah. Right. When you're tired of hearing yourself complain, you know, then it's like, something must be up. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you go, wait a minute. It's okay for all these bad things and difficulties and these delays and this, you know, an enemy is this. This is an enemy. Anybody that gets in the way of your plans.
Mm-hmm.
But God tells us to love our enemies. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Your love keeps no records of how many times they offended you. Right? You know, and so a man's wisdom gives him the ability to go through that without reacting in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And it's to our glory to overlook an offense. So when somebody is used by the adversary to offend you, it's an opportunity for us to worship God and say, you know what? This is going to be to my glory. This is going to be to my glory just to overlook it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody tries to bring it up to you, you go, yeah, just let it go.
You know, don't be like a Velcro and let it stick. Oh,
you don't want it to stick. You just want to let it go because it's to your glory to be able to let it go. Today's Wisdom Moments, Proverbs 19:11. 19:11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense.
Wow. Well, it's time for the top three, the VFN Torch. This is always an encouraging part every day when we get a chance to share, because this is what our VFN radio listeners are watching and listening and reading. Well, the first story I want to talk about is September, National Preparedness Month. Are you prepared? If you remember, this is a fantastic time because we actually say fantastic, but it was a moment where we were able to share breaking news about things that were happening, especially with the Tunisia embassy being mobbed at that time. You know, at that time, you see all this turbulence, all these things happening in the Middle East. And we began to share, like, listen, you know, something's up. We've got to be prepared. God's been sharing this with us. You see that Americans deny God three times to take Jerusalem out of the capital of Israel. All these things are occurring, and it's time. I mean, it's time to be prepared. And you have Russian naval ships on the back of a backdrop at the convention, and you have an ambassador that's dead, and it's like, wait a minute. At the same time that they're promoting President Clinton as the leader, president of the world, you know, it's time to prepare. It's time to prepare. And September, according to the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, is actually, this is their month. The month that says this September is a National Preparedness Month. And the best way to be prepared is to have an abiding relationship with the Lord, is to hear his voice, is to be informed, listen to VFN radio, and make sure that you're plugged in and tuned away. The number two is Christianity versus Islam, Bible versus Quran. Let me tell you, there is a distinct difference. And if you haven't heard this segment, I encourage you, you can look it up by just searching for Bible, Islam, or Quran. But you want to make sure that you do this because you want to know that there is a distinct difference. Christians say that you know, we can live at peace with your neighbors. But the Quran says that, you know what? You can't. You can't. Any other religion that's not the same as Islam, they're in opposition. So you want to get informed. And the last thing I want to share real quick before we come to the end of our extra hour is just be the light, number three. Listen, when shiny objects are all over the place and people are being distracted, just be the light. Stay on fire for the Lord. Stay committed to Jesus. Continue to do what God's called you to do. And when all those other distracting shiny objects go away, God will be lifted high.
God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for the top three right there. Don't forget, 24/7 BFN Radio. If you haven't yet, like us on Facebook. Download the app. Go to your app store, VFN TV. Share with a friend. We need to be encouraged on this journey. And God bless. We'll see you tomorrow on VFN Radio.